Rich Kimball and Carrie Haskell are here with you. Our next guest on the program is a contributing writer for The Jewish Journal. Her recipes have appeared in The Huffington Post, The Daily Meal, Tablet Magazine. She's a former high school teacher, which makes me love her even more as a current high school teacher myself. And she is the author of a wonderful new book, Meal and a Spiel, How to Be a Badass in the Kitchen. We are pleased to be joined by Ilana Horwich. Ilana, thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, so happy to be here, Rich. High school teachers unite.
Yeah, you're darn right. I love the book so much, and we'll get to that. But I want to talk about your background, because how you got here, I think, is an awfully interesting story. And it starts with growing up in a house where, as you say, no one cooked.
Yes, that is true. The joke in the house is that I went in, you know, I was in the kitchen because it was the only place in the house my mother couldn't find me. And I was there because I was hungry. You know, a lot of people don't learn to cook because their mothers are always in the kitchen. For me, it was the opposite. And when I was 20 years old, I actually had an epiphany and left college temporarily and moved to Italy, where I stayed ultimately for 5 years. And I got, well, really inspired by the Italians, by their approach to cooking. And plus, I was on a budget, and I cooked, and I learned to cook.
Before you made that trip, though, and I think this is a common story for a lot of people, you say that for a time there in your teens, food really became your enemy.
That is true. Yeah, I actually had a really unhealthy relationship with food. I probably had an undiagnosed eating disorder. If I could diagnose myself now, I would have said I was an obsessive compulsive eater. I just used food to squash my emotions, which I think is very, very common. And it's a form of addiction, I guess. And, you know, I felt really terrible about my body. I felt really just out of control with food because I didn't want to keep it in my sight because I didn't have any control around it. And yet I would, of course, keep it in my sight because I needed to eat all the time. So, and, you know, I was an athlete, so it was really hard for me. And I healed that element of myself while in Italy, actually, because the Italians have such a healthy approach to food. You know, they sit down every time that they eat. They eat, you know, full meals. They don't look at people. Like, I grew up in Los Angeles, so if you ate a little too much in front of someone, like, that you could get looks. Like, oh, you're fat and you're eating? Like, whereas there, they're like, honey, eat more. And just cooking was really healing for me. I mean, I think that was a huge part of my healing, that aspect of myself.
Yeah, what did you learn about yourself from that time in Italy?
Well, my gosh. I think I learned so much about myself. I mean, in terms of, you know, if we're going to talk in terms of food, I think I learned that I had an enormous curiosity, that I really loved learning from the Italian mamas. Like, I could not get enough. I was always trying to get in any mother's kitchen that I could. I mean, they, of course, don't have recipes written down, but I was watching. I was asking questions. You know, even just the way that I was eating with curiosity so I could understand the ingredients that went in there. And I think I learned that I really just love being in a foreign culture. I think it really allows us to connect with the part of ourselves that is not American or not Californian or not Jewish or not Los Angelino. It's like, it's who we really are. We connect in this really human-to-human way when we're in a foreign country. And I realize I really love to do that.
We're talking with Ilana Horwich. Her book is Meal and a Spiel, How to Be a Badass in the Kitchen. This is not your Betty Crocker book. This is a very different type of cookbook. It's got great recipes, tremendous stories, and some wonderful pictures as well. But best of all, it's very encouraging. And one of your early messages in the book is that even people who think they can't cook can still enjoy food. Or as you put it, even schlamazels can learn.
Yeah. That is true. Do we need to define what a schlamazel is, or we can let that one go?
Well, I'm good with it, but you may want to share that for anybody who may not be acquainted.
Yeah, schlamazel is Yiddish for someone who is prone to accidents, let's say, or is just not the smartest, sharpest knife in the drawer. So even people who don't have a lot of experience in the kitchen, who might actually be very bright, but just don't have a lot of experience in the kitchen, absolutely can learn to cook. And I take people, I hold their hand. You know, I've been teaching cooking classes for the past 10 years, based in L.A., but all over the country, even in New Hampshire, just over the border from Maine. And I find, I implemented the tactics that I use in class inside of the book. So, for example, I explain how and why recipes work. Sometimes when people just have an understanding of what's about to happen, they can relax around cooking. I also don't tell people to cook, something for 5 minutes. I say cook it until you see this color change or until you see these bubbles start to happen. So they're looking out for specific things. And I mean, the bottom line is cooking's not that hard. And the way that I learned to cook in Italy, the Italians have a very simple kitchen.
But you also say it's important to have the right tools. Half the battle, you say, is having what you need, and you come up with a list of some fairly essential tools, tools that everyone should have.
Yeah, and none of them are particularly fancy. I mean, not just tools, but I would say, even just the great ingredients in the house. Like, for example, right now we're in a time in our country where we're not running to the market every day, and there are some ingredients that everyone should have in the house at all times, like olive oil, garlic, red pepper flakes, salt. With that, you can make a pasta from just about anything. Keeping carrots and onion and celery in the house means you can make a soup from anything, means that you can make a meat sauce from what you have in the house, means that you can make meatballs. And in terms of tools, I don't use such fancy tools, but I do encourage my students to get a grill pan. That's one of the things that I encourage, because I find a lot of women particularly aren't going out on a cold night to light the grill up, and that you can do a lot of easy cooking on a grill pan for your family in a matter of minutes. And for busy people, it's just a great fit tool to have.
Great piece of advice that you give in the book is stop trying to be perfect. What do you mean by that?
Well, we have this notion of cooking that, like, everything needs to be chopped in the exact way and everything needs to be, perfect looking. And we have to make the recipe in such a way that it comes out perfectly every single time. And holding on to those notions of perfectionism actually prevent us from, one, adding joy into the cooking, and two, taking risks. Like, it's okay if you burn, by the way, in my first time I taught my pasta class, and I just taught an online pasta class. I've been teaching cooking classes online now because everyone's at home. I burnt the garlic, multiple times. And, if you don't take risks, you're not going to grow. And the reality is with cooking that even when you make mistakes, you probably can still eat it afterwards. So it's not a horrible catastrophe.
Your pasta class, by the way, looks incredible, and you take a somewhat different approach to it. And as you say, even in Italy, people aren't sitting around every day making their own fresh pasta.
No, they are not. Most Italians are using the pasta that comes out of the box, made from semolina, which is just the type of wheat flour, and pasta is whipped up in the house in 20 minutes. It is very easy. Italian women often work. They are not there just serving their husbands and serving their children, and it might actually be the husband that is cooking, but they walk in the house and they make dinner in 20 minutes. And it's just, the grandmas are maybe waking up on Sundays and rolling fresh pasta, and thank goodness that they are, because it is such a beautiful art, and there's nothing like eating a homemade pasta rolled from a grandma.
You're not a big fan of the slow cooker. Can you explain why?
Well, I'm not a big fan of the slow cooker, but I am a big fan of slow cooking.
Yes.
So what is the difference? Yeah. The slow cooker is electric, and the inside of it is made from usually some manufactured material, and the food just doesn't taste good in there. And another first step, I should say, in slow cooking is you want to brown the meat. So that is like how you get good flavor by like browning that brisket or browning, you know, the chicken skin. And you can't brown it in a slow cooker. So you actually need to use a pan to brown it. And then you stick in a slow cooker. So in the end, you're actually dirting two different things as opposed to just using like a Dutch oven or ceramic-coated cast iron. And you're not getting a good flavor by it being cooked in this electric thing. So it's, you know, look, if that's what you have in the house, now is a good time to get your slow cooker out. But I would say, if you're my cooking student, I would say, in the future, let's get rid of it.
You've also put together in the book what I think is the best, most straightforward account of how to make risotto, because it's always been a little intimidating to me, but you've inspired me to go back and try again.
Oh my gosh, Rich, that's awesome. I'm so excited. That's great. Yeah, well, I'm about to teach risotto in one of my future online classes coming up soon, which anyone can join. They're free. If anyone wants information, they can come to my website at IlanaHorowitz.com. But the key to making risotto is that you need to like stir and stir and stir the risotto. So it does require that you're at your stovetop for 20 minutes, but it can be very meditative. But you really just have to saute onions, and you saute them really well. Then you add some of the arborio rice in there. It has to be a risotto rice, otherwise it won't happen. You let that toast a little bit, and then you start adding broth, ladleful by ladleful, and you just stir and stir and stir, and halfway through that, you might add the mushrooms that you had cooked or, you know, zucchini that we had cooked on the side, and you add that in, and you just keep adding broth and stirring, and there you go. That's what makes it creamy, the stirring.
So, Ilana, how do people take control of their relationship with food and put it in its proper place?
You mean in terms of like if they have unhealthy eating relationship? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, and I think just people obsess so much these days about food and are constantly thinking about every little calorie, I think, to the point where they don't enjoy food, and it becomes something that the focus is on the numbers and not on the proper enjoyment of it.
I see. Yeah, I understand that. So I like to think of food as not something that just goes into our mouth, but something that is nourishing each and every cell inside of our body. Our bodies need food and water in order to run, in order to function well. So I like to, you know, when you think about it in that way, then you have to be really grateful that this food is available to you. You know, so as opposed to seeing it as the enemy, I see it as my friend. It's, I think, really important to think about how grateful you are for not just the food itself, but like for the farmers, for the truckers that like took it from the farm to the market, for the people that are working in the market, you know, for your ability to get to the market. And that, I think, having a gratitude for this fresh food that is going to nourish and fuel your body helps me at least have a different approach. And you know, also sometimes we just need to slow down.
Absolutely.
And well, that's something I think I learned in Italy is I just slow down.
Well, you're going to want to take your time going through this book. It's a beautiful book. It's funny. It's uplifting. It's got great recipes and information. Meal and a Spiel, How to Be a Badass in the Kitchen. Ilana Horowitz, it's been a delight to talk with you. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Rich. It was a pleasure.
We'll do it again sometime, I hope.
Yes. You know, I'd love to let your audience know that if they're interested in this book, we are offering a discount right now. Is that on my website? It's KitchenBadass20. They can use the code where, you know, everyone's cooking right now, and we'd love to have Meal and a Spiel be a help to you in the kitchen.
Fantastic. Ilana, thank you very much. Stay safe, be well, and we'll talk again, I hope.
Okay, wonderful. Thanks, Rich. I hope so.